إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، once again I welcome all of you. درس الليلة في الفقه. Today we continue learning from الملخص الفقهي. الفقه class from الملخص الفقهي of our noble Sheikh العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. أحكام الجنائز. We're still reading from the section in which the Shaykh talks about the rulings pertaining to funerals, rulings and regulations concerning the dead and funerals. رابعا أحكام التكفين. This is the fourth part related to shrouding. We learned when a person is dying, they are very sick, the etiquettes. Also, when a person dies, what to do according to the sunnah. And also we learned the washing of the body. The last part was the washing of the body, the deceased Muslim. And all of these rulings and regulations, by the way, applies on a Muslim, not on the kafir. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وبعد تمام الغسل والتجفيف يشرع تكفين الميت. Once those people who wash the deceased person, as we mentioned to you and we wrote to you the details, who is allowed to wash who, okay? Now then, once that process is finished, then the person, he says, you dry them out, and you begin the other process, which is a takfin, shrouding. ويشترط في الكفن أن يكون ساترا ويستحب أن يكون أبيض نظيفا سواء كان جديدا وهو الأفضل أو غسيلا. The Sheikh says one of the conditions is that the clothing or the material, actually the material that is used to shroud the deceased body, has to cover, has to be thick enough so that you don't see through the body of the deceased person. Okay? And it is recommended to be white and clean. To be white sheets is recommended. It's not an obligation. Doesn't matter, he says, if those sheets that are used are brand new, which is better, but they can be something that is being washed, inshallah. Meaning if somebody has some material, and as long as they wash it and it's clean, it's okay as well. ومقدار الكفن الواجب ثوب يستر جميع الميت. How much do you need from material? Enough to cover the deceased person, the entire body. والمستحب, this is what is obligatory, what is a wajib, is that you cover the entire body of the deceased person in the shrouding process. والمستحب, however, what is recommended, تكفين الرجل في ثلاث لفائف, that the man should be wrapped in three sheets. Okay, that's recommended. In three sheets or three layers. Okay? وتكفين المرأة في خمسة أثواب. The woman, she needs five pieces. The man, three layers, three pieces, while the woman needs five. What are these five? Izar, and khimar, qamis, and lifafatain. The woman, she's different. She needs the izar, She need a khimar on her head, a qamis, like the ibaya and the like that they dress her up in, and then she be wrapped in two layers. That make five. وَتُكَفَّنُ الصَّغِيرَةُ فِي قَمِيسٍ وَلِفَافَتَيْنِ The young girl, she need three pieces, a qamis and two layers. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَجْمِيرُ الْأَكْفَانِ بِالْبُخُورِ بَعْدَ رَشِّهَا بِمَاءِ الْوَرْدِ وَنَحْوِهِ لِتَعْلَقَ بِهَا رَائِحَةَ الْبُخُورِ Also it is recommended to this akfan, these layers of material, it is recommended to put some ma al-ward. This ma al-ward has a good scent. It's water that is the flower water or something. I don't know what it is in English. Rose water? Yeah, rose water. The rose water, sprinkle it. And then you use bukhur. Okay, you burn some bukhur so that nice smell stick into the layers that are being used of that material that you use for the shrouding. ويتم تكفين الرجل. Now the Shaykh is going to give us how you shroud the deceased man. سيتم تكفين الرجل بأن تبسط اللفائف الثلاث بعضها فوق بعض. So you have a table, okay, flat table. And you put those layers, you spread them out, and then you put one on top of the other. So three layers. Sometimes you have the people like on their table to eat. They have more than just one piece of cloth. I don't know if you notice that. Sometimes, especially people who eat around one table, in some countries and some people, that's how they do it. And if they're going to serve you more than one dish, because they bring one dish and everybody eat from one dish, okay? But they have three layers of material. Tablecloth. Three of them. Why? Because once they you finish the first food, first plate, they take it and they rub the first cloth. It's gone. So now you have another one. They put the other one and they're like, likewise, I'm just giving you as an example. So you have them three, one on top of the other, this material. ثُمَّ يُؤْتَى بِالْمَيِّتِ مَسْتُورًا And by the way, I just share something with you. Where I come from, you will tell just by the how many cloth, tablecloth, on the table, that how many plates you're going to be served. Now, people, they go and count. If it's only one, you know there is only one. They four of them, you know. So why? So you manage how much you eat. Yes. So somebody don't know, they put the first plate, he eats, he's full. Now they take it, they bring the chicken, roast, nice. He's like, he didn't tell me. They're like, look, experience. People, they just come, they count. You see? MashaAllah. It's the adat of the people. Taqaleed, it's good to know them. It's good to know the taqaleed before you go to a country, you go to a place. At least you know their traditions because that will help you. That will help you. Share with you something, just a window. A brother, an Iraqi brother here in America, he married a Moroccan lady. And he told me personally this story. After he married her here, it's been a while, and then he has to go to visit her family. She couldn't go for whatever reason, his wife. But he went, maybe to get something from there, and by the way, to meet her parents and family. His wife told him, look, don't eat on a plane. Moroccan flight is like, you know, Morocco is overnight. They always leave around 7:30. You get there at like 7:30. It's like 7 hours plus the five hours different. All right, and of course, this is not a class about food or none of that or flying. It is just to mention that it's good. It will help you to know the customs. Even when you go to Saudis, you know the customs and the etiquettes. What they serve first, tea or this or that, and the like. Anyway, his wife told him, look, man, they're going to cook for you. And that's true. Oh, Allah, alhamdulillah, in Morocco, maybe in other countries too, the guests, they take care of the guests. Don't you think that this family, that's all they eat all day, every day? No, 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 man. But when the guests come, they really take care of the guests. Okay? Just for you, as a guest. But other than, they just be eating sandwiches too, you know. But once the guest is there, they make sure he eats good. Okay? From Karam. And she said to him, look, don't eat. So he said to me, man, he went, they serving in a plane. And I said, okay. He says, I'm very hungry. He said, then, he said, subhanAllah, it was amazing. In the plane, in the airport, a lot of people from our family came to meet him. He's like, I feel special. Almost the whole family came. Wow. Then they drove for a while, a couple hours. Then, as soon as they get there, around 11 or 11:30, he said to me, I smell the food. It's beautiful. He says, in Morocco, there is a custom. Doesn't matter what you're going to eat, the first thing they serve you is tea and cookies. You got to do that. All right? Tea and cookies, that's the first thing. So him, in his country, he says, if they serve you tea and cookies, it means that you just missed the food. So he told me, he's like, I can't believe these guys. They couldn't even wait for me. He said, that's what's going on through his mind. So this is only custom. You don't even have to eat the sometimes they tell, eat this, inshallah, alhamdulillah. That's the custom. But him, in his mind, no food. They ate, these guys ate without him. So he said to me, man, I get down on those cookies. Said, I ate a lot of cookies. They said to me, eat. And a lot of them, like, different. He said, I ate. They're looking at me like this. This guy, just the cookies, he ate all this? You know, so. Subhanallah, he says, I'm full. Eat, I'm done. They were like, oh. He said, later on, I understood them looking at me like this. And they're talking in their language, some stuff. I said, I don't know why they're talking like that. He said, as soon as they take off this, they brought this plate as 4 roasted chicken. They're like, eat. He said, what? You can't eat. They say, why you eat so much cookies? He said he couldn't eat. They start eating. They try to feed him. He said, I can't, guys. They took out the cookies, the chicken. They put the roasted lamb. After the lamb brought, I don't know what. He said, I'm just looking. Then I said, man, somebody got to explain to me this, man. And then they told him, they're like, wow, look, man, we were concerned when you were causing that damage in those cookies. We were like, our daughter married who, man? This is only the cookies, what he do? They thought he can eat. But later on when they explained to him, he's like, subhanAllah. See, that's when you know the customs of certain people. It's good. It helps you a lot. To understand them, to respect them at least, and to don't get in trouble too, you see? Anyway, we go back to this one, barakallahu fikum. Let me share with you one thing too, from the customs. Sheikh Al-Umaysan, hafidahullah, he just got his PhD, by the way, alhamdulillah, with taqdeer mumtaz, excellent. Sheikh Abdurrahman Al-Umaysan, alhamdulillah, he got his PhD a couple of weeks ago. Jazakallah khairan. But he shared with me too something that you know the custom of the people. He said that Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, our noble Sheikh, he told him that they have a guest one day. You know, and they put some nice food in front, yarhamukallah, in front of the guest. And they have this custom, alayka salam, they have a custom over there too in Saudi. Doesn't matter what they cook for that person, they take good care of him, they still say to him that tara hada mahu haqqak in the Saudi language, tara hada mahu haqqak, meaning literally word for word translation, by the way, this is not yours, this is not for you, huh? Meaning you deserve more, you know, that's what he means. With all of that they put in, like, by the way, man, we could do better, you know? So, please, just accept. But literally, in Arabic, it's like, taramahu haggak, meaning this is not yours. The man don't understand that. As he eating, the Shaykh said to him, taramahu haggak, he says, why you blame me? You put it in front of me. You see? Because he don't understand. Usually the right answer, when he said to you, taramahu haggak, you say, la, jazakallah khair, come on, all of this food, la, this is even more than enough, barakallahu fiqh, jazakallah. The man, he said to him, blame me for what? You put it in front of me, inshallah. Not knowing the customs of the people. Alright? Now, tayyib, we go back to the kafan. So now once these layers of material are laid down, laid out on a flat surface, then preferably a table, because it becomes easy for you to work with. طيب. ثم يؤتى بالميت مستورا وجوبا بثوب ونحوه ويوضع فوق اللفائف مستلقيا. Then the deceased person, the body of the deceased person will be brought but covered, not naked. It's an obligation, remember, even why before, remember we learned before they wash the body, before they take his clothing off, they don't start taking clothes, they cover his aura first. Then they take the clothing off. And while they're washing it, they're washing under that cover as well. Okay? So now, they bring the deceased person's body, and while the aura is covered properly, and it will be put on those layers. Okay? Laid on these layers. On the back. ثم يؤتى بالحنوط وهو الطيب ويجعل منه في قطن بين أليتي الميت وتشد فوقه بخرقة. Then they bring the hanout. This hanout is some type of perfume. SubhanAllah, look how Islam take good care of the people even after their death. Bring some perfume and it will be put in some cotton and it will be put between the buttocks of the person. And it will be tightened with a piece of material. ثم يجعل باقي القطن المطيب على عينيه ومنخريه وفمه وأذنيه. And the rest of that cotton, because you took that cotton and you put, you know, perfume in it. The rest, the leftover, you put some on the eyes, he says, in the nose, the nostrils, and in the mouth, the ears. وعلى مواضع سجوده, some perfume on the places that they used to touch the ground in sujood, was the jabha, the forehead, the nose, the hands, the knees, and the tips of the toes.
Brother, in the cotton, in the nose ring, is it required? Because where I came from, I have never seen anybody putting a cotton in the nostril only.
So wow, where I come from too. That's why we're learning the sunnah. That's why we're learning, alhamdulillah, so that whatever us know something from before, and now we correct those things. Okay, that's why we're learning. Because once again, good that you mentioned that, jazakallah khairan, so that we can bring this reminder once again, that the deen of Allah, the religion, is not taken from the customs of the people. It's not taken from what this country is upon, or this tribe is upon. This is the deen of Allah. The religion of Allah has to be taken from what Allah has legislated. And that's why we are studying from the books of the ulama, those who they study Islam. This book, by the way, is by a sheikh who is known with his credibility and knowledge. This is not some chemist like Tariq Suwaidan, or somebody who don't have no clue about the deen, has PhD in mathematics, whatever, never studied from the ulama, now he's going to write on Islam. This is not, the sheikh is not giving his opinions, nor is he saying, look, this is how we do it back home. This sheikh is telling you according to what Allah has legislated, okay? So, as we're learning, if any one of us grow up in some environments that certain things are done in certain way, then we have to forget about those ways. And we have to hold on to the ways of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? Your country has a lot of things. My country also has so many things. His country has so many things. His country has so many things. His country has so many things. And the deen of Allah has to be taken from its proper sources. The Quran and the sound Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as understood by the companions. In customs, it's okay. Since we were talking about food earlier, this country, they eat it their way. The other country, they cook their chicken the other way. You bring 100 countries, they cook that chicken 100 different ways. It's okay with us. But they cannot make dua after salat 100 different ways. And we say, no, you do it your way, your country, my country. No, this is the deen of Allah. We all have to learn, regardless what country we come from, what colors, what dialects. When you come to the deen of Allah, the only people who are going to be right, they are those who they learn Islam from its proper sources, regardless their difference of customs and colors and languages and the way they look or their countries. The only ones that they're going to be upon good and doing the right thing, they are those who learn Islam from its proper sources. Okay? So it has nothing to do with the customs of the people and this, oh, my country against yours, or his tribe against his, or no. The deen of Allah. Anybody who brings us what is from the deen of Allah, we take it regardless who he is. Okay? Barakallahu fiqh wa jazakallahu khairan. وكذلك تحت الإبطين وطي الركبتين وسرته. Sheikh Fawzani says also, you perfume the armpits, their armpits, and behind the knees. What they call? They have a special name. Behind the knees, okay, and also السرة, the belly button, okay. وَيُجْعَلُ مِنَ الطَّيْبِ بَيْنَ الْأَكْفَانِ وَفِي رَأْسِ الْمَيِّتِ. Likewise, that perfume is between the layers that are used, subhanAllah, and on the head of the person as well, the deceased person. ثُمَّ يُرَدُّ طَرَفَ اللُّفَافَ الْعُلْيَا مِنَ الْجَانِبِ الْأَيْسَرِ عَلَى شَقِّهِ الْأَيْمَنِ. I wish if I have 3 layers in here or something to even demonstrate, but this book I'm using, see like if it is the case, okay? So now, there is 3 layers, okay? 3 layers. The person, he says, so what you take, the first, the top one, the upper layer, from the left side, and what do you do? Cover the deceased person. You bring it to its right. And then the same, the other side, you put it back like this, okay? Alright, from the right to the left. And then you go to the second one, like this, alright? And then you go to the third layer, like this. Alright? Like this. So now you have all these 3 layers. First, they are all together. Okay? But you take the first one, then the second, okay? Then the third. Tayyib, then the third. Now. ويكون الفاضل من طولي اللفائف عند رأسه أكثر مما عند رجليه. Now the Sheikh, he says, of course, now when you do this, there's gonna be some extra material in both ends. Okay, make sure that there is more material by the side of the head than by the side of the feet. Okay, so meaning when you put the person, you make sure that you leave more a material from his head than from the part of his feet. Okay? And then the Sheikh, he says, what you do now with that left of material, يُجْمَعُ الْفَاضِلُ عِنْدَ رَأْسِهِ وَيُرَدُّ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. You fold whatever left over, that extra that is in there by the head, and you bring it on top of his face. Okay, you fold it and you bring it on top of the face. When it's like this, okay, you fold it and you bring it on the face. You do the same thing by the feet. You fold it together and you return it back on a person's feet. Okay? On a person's feet. So now it's tight. ثم تعقد على اللفائف أحزمة لألا تنتشر وتحل العقد في القبر. And then you tie it. They make some strings, piece of material. Okay? And you tie those لفائف, those layers, you tie them so that they don't go loose. Okay? So they don't go loose when they carry him and when they put him in a grave. So you make sure they tighten. وأما المرأة as far as the men. وأما المرأة فتكفن في خمسة أثواب. As we mentioned, I read to you that the woman, she is shrouded and covered in five pieces. Okay? An izar, two azaru bihi, around her, the izar. ثم تلبس قميصا. Then they put on her a qamis that she wears. They put it on her. And a khimar على رأسها, a khimar on top of her head. ثم تلف بلفافتين. And then she's put on two layers and she will be wrapped in those layers. خامسا أحكام الصلاة على الميت. The fifth portion of this section of the funerals is the rulings and regulation concerning the salat, salat al-janazah, performing the prayer over the deceased person. قال ثم تشرع بعد ذلك الصلاة على الميت المسلم. Once the shrouding finished, then they will perform the funeral, the janazah prayer, the salat on the Muslim. Because as we mentioned, these rules do not apply on non-Muslims. The non-Muslims are not washed or shrouded or prayed over. طيب. فعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من شهد الجنازة حتى يصلى عليها فله قراط ومن شهدها حتى تدفن فله قراطان. قيل وما القراطان؟ قال مثل الجبلين العظيمين. متفق عليه. The Shaykh mentioned first a hadith that is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, رحمهم الله. And this hadith highlights the virtue of performing the funeral prayer. Keep in mind, because the janazah prayer is not obligatory, it's not like Asr prayer, or Fajr, or Dhuhr, or Maghrib, or Isha. Huh? It's not obligatory individually upon every individual. But look at the virtue for those who have the ability to do what they should attend, if they want this good. What is this virtue? It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever witnessed the janazah until he performed the prayer on it amongst the Muslims, he will get the reward of a qirat. Qirat. Just remember this word, qirat. And whoever continue and stay with the janazah until he's buried, he will be rewarded two qirats, not just one, two. So they asked, the companion, they said, what is this two qirats, O Messenger of Allah? They said, what is this two qirat? He says, like two great mountains. Two huge mountains. Subhanallah. You know. So it's great for those people who have the ability, have time. Yes, if you hear there is a janazah, especially for us in America, alhamdulillah, we don't, alhamdulillah, people don't die every day. Okay? But if you go in Saudi, especially in Mecca, in the Haram, those who's been there, how many times you pray janazah? How many times?
Every salat.
Every salat. Every salat. Every salat. I remember once I was in Medina and they missed us. We were there for a while. Every salat, as-salatu ala al-mayyiti. One salat, one. I don't remember what salat was that. They didn't make the announcement. And people, they like get confused. Maybe they forget to make the announcement. Maybe, I said, let's go. No, they may do it later on. And people are waiting because they get used to that. But in Mecca, every day, and sometimes you see them. You see them bringing them? Sometimes 7 people at one time, 10 more. Aynam, subhanAllah. But here in America, it's kind of like, mashallah, maybe every 3 months or 5 months we pray on somebody. So make it, this is Qirat, ya akhi, subhanAllah, great mountain. Aynam, great mountain. If somebody was telling me, you get a great mountain for you. Not gold, just a mountain, trees and rocks. He still was like, man, I'm down. He's coming. Not talking about gold or silver. Just a mountain. He's like, man, you okay? But this is a subhanAllah, qirat of good deeds. A great reward. So let us, inshallah, when we hear that there is a janazah, let us make ourselves available. And also, to make dua for your brother or for your sister. Okay, because you would love, if I die, I would love too that the people show up and pray over me and make dua. You know, not somebody outside going to get a coffee. No, we don't do that. We get a coffee after that. Inshallah, we get a coffee tomorrow. Why? If you don't drink coffee today, is something going to happen to us? But this is important for us. Keep in mind, it's not an obligation as the Shaykh is going to mention, inshallah ta'ala. والصلاة على الميت فرض كفاية. شفت إذا فعلها البعض سقط الإثم عن الباقين وتبقى في حق الباقين السنة وإن تركها الكل أثم. Performing the janazah prayer is a communal obligation. What does it mean? If a group of Muslims they perform it, it's okay. There is nothing wrong on those who didn't attend. It's not like Asr prayer, for example. It's not like okay. 30 people in the community, they came and pray Asr. The other people don't have to pray Asr, it's okay. No, everybody should pray Asr prayer. Okay? Now, this one here, the janazah prayer, if a group of Muslims in the area, they did it, alhamdulillah, the other one, they don't have to attend. Okay? But, if they all leave it, they sinners all together. If no one show up and nothing, they all sinners. They all share in the sin, وَلَيَّدِ بِاللَّهِ وَيُشْتَرَاتُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. Now the Shaykh is going to mention some conditions, the conditions for this salat too. Because this is a salat. He has conditions, he has pillars, and he has sunan. Salat al-janazah also has conditions, and has pillars, and has sunan. What are the conditions of the funeral prayer? An-niyyah. You need to know what you're doing. Now, at least you know that you're praying on a deceased person. And this doesn't mean that at that time you stand and say, here I am in this masjid, standing next to this beautiful brother here on this Tuesday of whatever, performing janazah prayer on my brother. No. We don't say the niyyah outwardly like this. But just knowing that this is janazah, alhamdulillah, now it is, that's the niyyah, just the niyyah. واستقبال القبلة. Likewise, you face the Qibla. Janazah, you face the Qibla as well. وستر العورة. You have to be, your aura has to be covered properly as well. وطهارة المصلي والمصلى عليه. That you have to be in state of purification. The one who is praying and the one who is prayed for or over. After meaning after the ghusl. وَاجْتِنَابُ النَّجَاسَةِ. Likewise, to avoid impurities. وَإِسْلَامُ الْمُصَلِّ وَالْمُصَلَّ عَلَيْهِ. That both those who are performing the funeral prayer and the one whose the prayer is for, both have to be Muslims. Therefore, you see the mistakes of some people. Somebody die, he has a non-Muslim family and they include them in the salat. They include them. They say, oh, come, Miss whatever her name is, the grandmother. She's not Muslim. She's praying too with the Muslims. Non-Muslims standing with the Muslims. No, they don't stand in the prayer. They should be told nicely, okay? Because Islam is a beautiful religion. Somebody has to talk to them before that moment, okay? You have to tell them, look, you can't pray. Mashallah, this is respect. We don't come to the church and pray over anyone. Likewise, okay, this is not your religion. This is not what you guys do. Mm-hmm. And you would not benefit this person. I'm sure you want good for him, right? All right, so we got it. But you explain to them. I'm sure they're gonna say thank you. And it happened before. It happened to us more than one occasion. We go and explain to the people and they say thank you for letting us know. Not to confuse the people now. You sit down. They're like, why me? Explain to them. So we don't do it to extremes. Those who tell them, come, Miss So-and-so, come, no, you're the family. They invite them, a jahil imam. Those imma who are juhal, ignorance. They even put them in the front. I was told that they even said, make a room. They bring them in the front. No. So we tell the people, we explain to them that for them, it is not for them to pray and to take a part of this and the like in a nice way, alhamdulillah. وكذلك حضور الجنازة إن كانت بالبلد. Likewise, that the body has to be present. Okay, if the body is there, it be present. Not like some people are still washing and like, okay, you know, why we have to wait? Let's pray. And they pray the janazah in the masjid, the body is still washing. لا. They have to wait until the body is present. Okay, and they pray. It's different if the body is not present, somewhere else, and nobody, as the ulama, they mention, and this is called salat al-ghaib. If somebody dies somewhere and he was buried as a calf, not as a, in a Muslim way, according to the sunnah, they just buried him, whatever the case, the ulama, they says, it's permissible to perform the salat on that person. Okay? But if the body is available, the Muslims, they perform the salat al-janazah over the body when he's present. وَكَوْنُ الْمُصَلِّ مُكَلَّفًا. Likewise, from the conditions that the person who's performing the salat is from people who they reach the age of taklif. They are from those people who it's upon them to perform the prayer. وَأَمَّا أَرْكَانُهَا. As for the pillars of this salat, فَهِيَ الْقِيَامُ فِيهَا. The pillars of the funeral prayer, standing. Okay, you stand. What takbiratul arba? The four takbirs. You say Allahu Akbar four times. Wa qira'atul fatiha. The reciting of the fatiha. Number four, as-salatu ala nabi. Like you say in tashahud. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin. Like sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in tashahud. Khamisan, wa du'a'u lil mayyit. There is a du'a, a supplication that you say. The imam say it and the people behind him, they say it. They make dua for the deceased person. What tartib, what taslim. And this has to be done in this order. And the taslim. Tayyib. Amma sunanuha. Of course, there is no ruku' and no sujood in this one. Okay, no ruku', no sujood, no tashahud. It's all standing. Once you stand until you finish. There is no ruku' and there is no sujood. Okay? There is none. Okay, so you stand until you, even taslim, you're making it while standing. Okay? وَأَمَّا سُنَنُهَا. As for the sunan, فَهِيَ رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ. And the sunan, it means if you do what is good. If you don't do it, nothing, alhamdulillah, wrong with that. فَهِيَ رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ مَعَ كُلِّ تَكْبِيرًا. The sunan of this salat is the raising the hands with the takbir. You say, Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahu Akbar. Okay? Allahu Akbar, raising the hand. It's from the sunnah. والاستعاذة قبل القراءة. Likewise, to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم before you begin to recite الفاتحة. Okay? وأن يدعو لنفسه وللمسلمين. To make dua for yourself and for the Muslims in the dua parts. والإصرار بالقراءة. And that the قراءة, the recitation of فاتحة is silent. وأن يقف بعد التكبير الرابع وقبل التسليم قليلا. And that to pause a little bit after the last تكبير, the fourth تكبير, to not say السلام عليكم ورحمة الله to the right immediately, to pause a little bit, that's from sunnah as well. وأن يضع يده اليمنى على يده اليسرى على صدره. To put the right hand on the left on the chest while you're saying الله أكبر, that's from the sunnah. والالتفات على يمينه في التسليم, and to turn to your right When you say Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, that's also from the Sunan, and we continue after the Adhan, inshaAllah ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على
Now the Shaykh Hafidahullah is going to give the description of this prayer after he gave us its virtue, the merit, the rulings on it. Is it obligatory upon everybody or not? And we learn that it is a communal obligation. And also after we learn its condition, its spellers and its sunan, now the Shaykh is going to give us a description how to perform, how this salat is performed according to the sunnah. Not according to some tribe or some people or some imam or some community here or some masjid over there. According to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال تكون الصلاة على الميت بأن يقوم الإمام والمنفرد عند صدر الرجل ووسط المرأة. نعم. That now once the body is put down, now the imam, or if someone is alone, sometimes it may be one person, nobody, he couldn't find nobody else. Or if there is more people, then there is an imam, the imam. Okay? Where this imam stands, he stands by the head of the man and by the middle of the woman. Okay? Her waist. طيب. ويقف المأمومون خلف الإمام. And the people, if there is people, they lined up behind the imam. Okay? Behind the imam. Now I have a question for you. What if we have a man and a woman? There is a janazah to be performed on a man and a woman. Sometimes you hear it. If you go to Hajj and you're in the Haram, whether in Mecca or Medina, keep in mind you don't have to go to Medina. It has nothing to do with Hajj. And sometimes because when they say, they make that announcement, As-salatu, sometimes they say, As-salatu ala al-amwat. Funeral prayers on the deceased in plural. You don't know if it's men or women and the like. Sometimes they said, As-salatu ala rajuli. You know that it is only one man. Sometimes you hear this, As-salatu ala al-mar'ati. What does it mean? It's only one woman. Sometimes they said, As-salatu ala rajuli wal-mar'ati. A man and one man and one woman. Sometimes they say, As-salatu ala al-amwati wal-atfal. And children, what tifli, and one child. Yes, subhanAllah. Why did they do this? To let you know because the dua changed. If they say a man, so you make dua for that man. If it's a woman, then in Arabic you change the what do you call it, demonstrative?
The pronoun.
The pronoun change. So in English it's all you.
Yeah.
Huh? Arabic is no. Allahumma ghafir lahu. اللهم اغفر لها اللهم اغفر لهما اللهم اغفر لهن اللهم اغفر لهم. You see? It's different. They tell you that so you know what dua you make. Okay, what pronoun you choose. Now here is the question. I go back to the question. What if they say there is a janazah on a man and a woman? How they perform? Who knows? How they perform this janazah?
The head,
both of them. Mm-hmm. That's one answer.
Is
Remember, this deen is knowledge, no guessing. When I say who know, I said who know. I didn't say who guesses. Who knows? You heard what I said, right? I said who knows. I didn't say who guesses. Jazakallah khair. Allah hafadak. Tayyib. MashaAllah. Remember, you're right in one thing. Who, the imam stands by the head of who?
By the head of male.
What about the woman?
Middle.
The middle of the woman. The waist. Right. Here. Right. The middle. So how are you going to do that?
You are not.
So they pray on the man first and then bring the woman? No, they do one salat for both of them at one time. But how it's done?
The position of the body.
The position of the body. Ahsan. Give me a pen. A pencil? It's okay, no problem. Let's say now the pencil is the woman. All right? If the imam is going to pray on a woman, he's going to be in the middle like this. Okay? The pen is the man. Let's say this is the head. If the imam is going to pray, he stands here, right? No, right here, by the head. So now how he does it? They move the woman, put her middle by the head of the man behind him. So when the imam stands, it's in the same line. You see how it is? See, it's technique. So they put the woman, they move her up so that her middle or the waist is lined up with the head of the man. Alright? So the imam, when he stands, alhamdulillah, he's standing in a right position. Okay? Jazakallah.
The man position first before the woman?
Aina.
So brother, does that rule apply also to children, girls or boys? Does that rule apply to that?
That's a good question that I don't have an answer for. But I will get back with you, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. طيب. وَيُسَنُّ جَعْلُهُمْ ثَلَاثَ صُفُوفٍ. Also, it is the sunnah. Doesn't have to be, but it is the sunnah that whoever people they are present, it is the sunnah to make them in three rows. To make them into three rows. Okay? ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ الْإِحْرَامِ. Then the imam, of course the people have to follow the imam also. The imam say, Allahu Akbar, the first takbirah. Takbirat al-Ihram. وَيَتَعَوَّدْ بَعْدَ التَّكْبِيرِ مُبَاشَرًا فَلَا يَسْتَفْتِحْ. In this one here, the imam, he goes straight and say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. There is no istiftah like you see in the other salat. There is dua of istiftah, but not in here. وَيُسَمِّي. Then he say, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. وَيَقْرَأُ الْفَاتِحَةِ. And the imam recite al-Fatiha. Of course, remember this is silent. Okay? ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرْ. Then that imam will say, Allahu Akbar. This is, what number of takbir is this one? The second one. So the people, they say, Allahu Akbar after the imam as well. وَيُصَلِّ بَعْدَ عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِتْلَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَيْهِ فِي تَشَهُدِ الصَّلَاةِ. After the second takbir, then the imam and those who are after him, all silently, they, at this moment after the second takbir, they say in the salat on the Prophet ﷺ. The same way you say it in tashahud. Okay? Once the imam finish it, he's going to say Allahu Akbar the third time. And then he will make the dua. After the third takbir, make the dua for that person or persons. Okay? Or children or a child. What is the dua? These different supplications. The sheikh, he chooses something, he says, بِمَا وَرَدْ يَدْعُوا لِلْمَيِّدْ بِمَا وَرَدْ. It's good to memorize the dua that the Prophet ﷺ used to say. From this is اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِحَيِّنَا وَمَيِّتِنَا وَشَاهِدِنَا وَغَائِبِنَا وَصَغِيرِنَا وَكَبِيرِنَا وَذَكَرِنَا وَأُنْثَانَا. The Shaykh here, he mentioned, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ مُنْقَلَبَنَا وَمَثْوَانَا وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And in the footnote, they says it is in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. But I checked in both Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah with the tasheeh and the tahqeeq of Shaykh al-Albani. This addition is not there. اللهم من أحييتهم منا فأحيي على الإسلام ومن توفيتهم منا فتوفوا على الإيمان اللهم لا تحرمنا من أجره ولا تضلنا بعده. This is you memorize. That's what you say, the dua. And also you said, اللهم اغفر له وارحمه وعافه واعف عنه وأكرم نزله ووسع مدخله واغسله بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقه من الذنوب كما نقيت الثوب الأبيض من الدنس وأبدله دارا خيرا من داره وزوجا خيرا من زوجه وأدخله الجنة وأعيذه من عذاب القبر أو عذاب النار وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه. Of course, it's in this ad'iyah, they are in Hasan al-Muslim, in page 163. In the page 163, it starts the invocation for the dead in the prayer. Just read to you the English translation. It says, O Allah, forgive him and have mercy on him. That's why I said when they tell you if it's a woman, what you say, O Allah, forgive her. Forgive her, okay? If it's more, you say forgive them. Alright? O Allah, forgive him and have mercy on him and give him strength and pardon him. Be generous to him and cause his entrance to be wide and wash him with water and snow and hail. Cleanse him of his transgressions as white cloth is cleansed of stains. Give him an abode better than his home, and a family better than his family, and a wife better than his wife. Take him into paradise, and protect him from the punishment of the grave, and from the punishment of the hellfire. Okay, and there is the other one. It says, O Allah, forgive our living and our dead, those who are with us and those who are absent, our young and our old, our men and our women. O Allah, whomever you gave life from among us, give him a life in Islam. And whomever you take away from us, take him away in faith. O Allah, do not forbid us their reward and do not send us astray after them. And there is other supplications. And of course the Sheikh says, if the person that is being prayed over is a female, you change the pronoun. You change the, because in Arabic, as we mentioned, it is changed, and also in English, instead of him, it's her, inshallah ta'ala. So instead of Allahumma ghafir lahu, it's Allahumma ghafir laha, and the like. Wa in kana al-musalla alayhi saghiran. Now what if the person is a child? There is a special dua for the child. Okay, there is a specific dua in the sunnah. What is it? Allahumma ja'alhu فرطا وذخرا لوالديه وشفيعا مجابا اللهم ثقل به موازينهما وأعظم به أجورهما وألحقه بصالح المؤمنين واجعله في كفالة إبراهيم وقه برحمتك عذاب الجحيم. You find it also in Hasan al-Muslim. You will find that the invocation for a child in the funeral prayer. He says, O Allah, protect him from the torment of the grave. This is one dua. You say this, O Allah, protect him from the punishment of the grave. Or you say also, O Allah, make him a, I need help with this word. Huh? You have it in there? Are you reading the English too?
Preceding?
No, before that, it says P-R-E-C-U-R-S-O-R.
Precursor?
Precursor? No, no. Precursor.
Read it again?
Precursor.
No, spell it again.
Pre. P-R-E-C-U-R-S-O-R.
No, precursor.
Precursor. Precursor. What is it? Farad. Now, precursor, a forerunner, and a treasure for his parents, and an answered intercessor. And an answered intercessor, O Allah, make him weigh heavily in their scales of good, and magnify their reward. Make him join the righteous of the believers, place him in the care of Ibrahim, save him by your mercy from the torment of hell, give him a home better than his home, and a family better than his family. O Allah, forgive those who have gone, meaning passed away, before us, our children lost by death, and those who have preceded us in faith. Inna. Then the Shaykh, he says, after that, you make takbir. The Imam, after the dua, he makes takbir, the fourth one, right?
And then he paused for a while and then say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, one taslima on the right. Then the Shaykh briefly, we finish this. He says, if a person come late and a part of this funeral prayer, he didn't catch it, he will enter with the imam and do whatever he's doing. Once the imam make the taslim, that person make up whatever he missed. Okay? He make up. Because now when he enters, actually, he don't know what the imam, this is first takbir, he began to say what he says. But when the imam say taslim, then the sheikh, he says, if these people, they still managing to take the body outside, then he will continue the salat. Okay? But if he's afraid that they may take the body, like in Medina, subhanAllah, fast, as soon as the salamu alaykum, they gone. Sometimes you want to know which janazah. Sometimes they pray on, like, you know what I'm talking about? They pray on 7 people. And as soon as they finish, they get them out, the families take those bodies, and when you go to the Baqiyah in Medina, and janazah going here, janazah go there, you don't know which one. But you just follow one. The Shaykh, he says, if he's afraid that he may miss the janazah, then he will just say takbirat without saying Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and make taslim. وَمَنْ فَاتَتْهُ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَيِّتِ قَبْلَ دَفْنِهِ صَلَّى عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. Likewise, it is from the sunnah for a person who to perform the salat al-janazah at the grave, as the Prophet ﷺ did done this. Likewise, the miscarriage, if a woman have a miscarriage, she lost the fetus, and if he or she was at least 4 months or more, then yes, they are the janazah to be performed on them. But if they are less than 4 months, there is no janazah prayer over them. Next class, we continue by hamlul mayyit wa dafnuh, carrying the deceased and washing his and the burial. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslim al-kathira. Na'am akhi.